Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome in to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on every Saturday morning and break bread with you. Amen. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn On The Light Broadcast. Turn On The Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday starting at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and worship service starts at 10 a.m. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at noon, you can actually call in this number, 917-388-4161, to listen to their Bible study live. And they also have Bible studies at their location every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
But I was busy doing other things, trying to write my own story. But I'm quickly realizing that I am only the paper, and you.
Is that your confession this morning? I just want to be better. Better than I was yesterday. Make me better, God. As he's the writer, I'm the paper. He's the author. I'm the book. Glory to God. That's all we want is to be better. Well, thank you once again for calling in. We'll go ahead and get into the word, amen. Coming out of book of Psalm, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. Psalm, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. And it reads, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in the rising. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The title of the message this morning is The Assemblies of Godlessness. The Assemblies of Godlessness. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for watching over us as we lay down and rest before you, God. Thank you for protecting us, keeping us in your care, for charging your angels to be encamped around about us, God. And thank you, Father, for waking us up, giving us life, God, new mercies, Father, more sufficient grace, God. Father, thank you for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, Father, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you would have to say to us this morning. Thank you for your word, Father, your word that heals, your word that saves, your word that delivers, Father, your word that sets free those who are bound in what we call sin. Thank you for your son, Jesus, Father, who you sent into this world to be the propitiation for our sins, to live a sinless life, God, to take the sins of the world to the cross, to defeat hell and the grave, Father, to conquer sin, God. Thank you for allowing him to go to hell for us, God, and to take the keys of hell from Satan, to strip him of all power, God. And Father, thank you for raising Jesus on the third day with all power, God, and receiving him into heaven with his precious blood, giving us access to you, Father. Thank you for Holy Spirit, his leading, his guidance, his comforting, his teaching, Father. And thank you for you, Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, our Father. Thank you for considering us, Father, for creating us, for choosing us, for calling us your own, Father. And now, Father, as we receive this word, help us to apply to our lives, to make it personal, Father, to walk in it, Father, that you may be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The assemblies of godliness. No, we've heard the assemblies of God, but we're going to talk about godlessness this morning. First, we're going to get an understanding of what godliness means. Godliness. Godliness is an attitude and style of life that acknowledges God. It's an attitude and style of life that acknowledges God and his claims on human life and seeks to live in accordance with God's will. Those are those who we call godliness. Let's go to Proverbs, the third chapter, starting at verse 5. Proverbs 3 and 5. And it reads, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's an attitude and style of life that acknowledges God. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Navel, the navel represents nourishment, nutrients. It's the center part of where we get our nourishment and nutrients. And marrow represents strength and durability. So it gives us health and it gives us strength. So we have to ask ourselves, according to this word, it shall be health to thy navel. So are we trusting in the Lord with all our heart? And are we leaning to our own understanding, or are we acknowledging God in all of our ways, that he may direct our path? Are we being wise in our own eyes? And are we fearing the Lord? That's the question this morning. Does the world fear the Lord? We got all all things going on in the world, all these things that we see in the media. But the message is surrounded by fear. But are we fearing the message from society, or are we fearing the Lord? The Bible says for us to worship the Lord with fear and trembling. But it seems like the fear of the Lord has been replaced with the fear of the message from society. If you don't do this, then this will happen. Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So if the fear is dying, why? Why do people fear dying so much? If they're saved, if you're really saved, why is dying a fear? Because to be absent from the body, which is death, is to be present with the Lord. If you're born again, if you're saved. So many people are so afraid of catching this, and but why? Why are we so afraid of dying? Because that seems to be the main reason that people do things, don't want to die. But if you really say, you're already dead. If you really saved, you're already dead. Dead to the flesh. Dead to the world. Dead to sin. Dead to sicknesses and diseases. By Jesus' stripes, we are healed. His blood was shed for the sicknesses and the diseases and the infirmities. So if we're really saved, why are we living in so much fear? Let's go to Romans. Actually, 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. We're talking about the assemblies of godliness. First Timothy 4, starting at verse 6. And it reads, if that's the condition, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. See, this is what gives us nourishment. The word of God. Faith It says nourished up in the words of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's what should be strengthened. Our faith. That's why I said lean not to your own understanding. It's not about the intellect. It's about nourishing and strengthening our faith. It says, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Good doctrine. Whereunto thou hast attained. Good doctrine is the good news. If the news that you're listening to is not good, it's also not healthy. Because it's not giving you the nourishment and the nutrients that your spirit needs. Because it's not nourishing your faith. It's not strengthening your faith that your spirit needs. Then it says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, unto an attitude and a style of life that acknowledges God and his claims on human life, and seeks to live according with his will. That's the life that we should be living. That's the attitude that we should have. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Life now here on earth and life eternally in heaven. Godliness, living a life of godliness. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Verse 3. And it reads, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, unto godliness. See, this is talking about an attitude or a style of living. how we treat people, how we treat one another. Verse 8 says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God. Read that one again. We've heard people say, I can't stand him. I can't stand her. I just despise him. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Talking about an attitude that acknowledges God. Godliness. Now let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. Just want to lay this foundation of what godliness means. 12, verse 1, and it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we should live according to God's will. So this is God's will. God's will is for us to live a life of godliness, to have an attitude and style of life that acknowledges God and his claims on human life, and seeks to live in accordance with his will. That's what godliness is. Now, let's look at godlessness. Godlessness. It's an attitude and style of life which excludes God, thought, and ignores or deliberately violates God's law. An attitude and style of life which excludes God from thoughts and ignores or deliberately violates God's laws. That's what godlessness is. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. Talking about the assemblies of godlessness. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 3. And it reads, if, there's the condition again, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So this is what the word is saying. For those who live ungodly, it's saying, withdraw thyself. Be separate from among them. How can the godly fellowship with the ungodly? Now, there's a difference between being around and fellowshipping. Says, how can the unrighteous fellowship with the righteous? And how can the saints of God fellowship with those who are sinners? And don't get caught up with the word sinner, because after that comes, well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then some even say that we're all sinners, but the devil is a lie. You're either a sinner or a saint. A sinner is one who, what we just read, it has an attitude and style of life which excludes God from thought and ignores or deliberately violates God's laws. That's what a sinner is. It's a style of living. It's an attitude that excludes God from thought. Do things without even thinking. Whereas we just read where it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge God. Talking about godlessness. Godlessness. And it goes on to say in 1 Timothy 6 and 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with sufficient material blessings of food and raiment should make one content with life. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Seek the first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the cares of the world, the basic things, necessities of living, food, raiment, clothes, shelter, they shouldn't even be a thought. Because if we seek God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, he would take care of us. It's automatic. It goes together. And then verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God. So this is talking to those who are saved. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. See, this is our guide. This is our outline. This is the blueprint of how we should be living a life of godliness, not a life of godlessness. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, starting at verse 1. And it reads, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I don't know if any of you realize that, but a few weeks ago, I was watching President Biden, and I heard him say these words, we are in peril times. He said those exact words. I'm quoting him. We are in peril times. That's what I thought about when I just read this scripture. It says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So if we're in peril times, then we must be in the last days also. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, without natural affection. What's natural affection? Adam and Eve. Man and woman, male and female. That's natural affection. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Did you hear that? Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This next one is what I wanted to get to. Having a form of godliness. Having a form of an attitude and a style of life that acknowledges God having a form of it, but denying the power thereof. You hear this a lot. I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Because if we're really godly, this is what it says next. From such, turn away. So for those who have a form of godliness on the outside, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, and then everything else that was listed, it says, from such, turn away. Godliness should not be fellowshipping with the assemblies of godlessness. First Timothy, first chapter. Starting at verse 5. And it reads, now the end of the commandment is charity or love. The end of the commandment is charity. A lot of people complain about obeying the commandments. Why can't I do this? Or why can't I say that? Or why can't I go there? But if we're really godly, the thought doesn't even enter our mind, because the word is rooted and grounded in our hearts. It says, now the end of the commandment, and God has given us commandment because he loves us. His will is that no one should perish, but that everyone will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's God's will. That's how much he loves us. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Perish, not in the flesh, but to go to hell. That's not God's will. God's will is for everyone to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To know and understand who Jesus is, his son, the savior of the world, our Lord, our King, our master, our deliverer. That's what God wants. it's not his will that any man should perish, but come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why it says here, the end of the commandment is charity, is love. He's given us commandments because he loves us. Thou shalt not kill, because I love you. I don't want you to be a murderer. Thou shalt not steal, because I love you. I don't want you to be a thief. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Because when we do that, the promise is you will have long life. Do not covet one another. Be content. We just read godliness with contentment is good. A lot of people don't have certain things because they can't be trusted with it. Be faithful over a few things. Then you will be made ruler over many. So a lot of people are not faithful with the few. Nothing is God's fault. Nothing is God's fault. We can't blame God for anything, because he's given us everything, just like last week. God has already given us what we need to produce the seed for our need. He's already given us what we need to produce the seed for our need. Just like the title last week, that's nothing to me. There's nothing too hard for God. So if there's nothing too hard for God, and he's already given us everything we need to produce the seed for our need, we should have no care in the world. We should be worried about nothing, because he shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory, not according to the world system. If you do this, then you will get that. Take that same mindset, that same mentality of doing, and apply it to believing God's word. If you believe his word, if you trust his word, if you rely on his word, he's not a man and he's a lie. If he said it, it shall come to pass. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, first chapter, verse 1, says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. That's a life of godliness. And then verse 6 says, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. That's a life of godlessness. From which some, having swerved, meaning that they started off godly, but instead of transforming their minds with the word of God, they conformed to the world by the message of fear. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So we should not be a sibling fellowshipping with those who are living a life of godlessness. We should be the one that are impacting this world. The world should not be impacting us. We're in this world, but not of it. We're in this world, but not of it. So that's what God is saying this morning. Live with an attitude and a style of life that acknowledges God and seeks to live according to his will. Not with an attitude and style of life which excludes God from thought and ignores or deliberately violates God's laws. The assemblies of godlessness. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for giving us what we need, Father. For equipping us, for preparing us, for making us ready to go out into this world and do what you've called us to do. To be an example, God. To live a life of godliness. So that those who are living a life of godlessness may call upon you and ask, what must I do to be saved? Let the life that we live speak for us, God. That you may be glorified. That you may be magnified. That your son Jesus may be lifted up and that he may draw them with his love, with his compassion. We thank you and we praise you, Father, just for who you are, in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to strengthen our faith with the nutrients and the nourishment of your word. Let it be our daily bread, Father, to feed our faith, to strengthen our faith, and to build up our faith. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The assemblies of godlessness. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. Love you. God bless you. And live a life of godliness, not a life of godlessness. Yeah, so.